the hero.
I thought it was James Coburn.
What?
I thought it was James Coburn. You look like James Coburn.
Has anybody ever told you that?
Yeah. When I was a lot younger, I went to California a lot, and I was always getting stopped, and because it was the time of our man Flint, and people would stop me in the airport and on the street for my autograph. And I just signed James Coburn. Is this us? Did Ronnie walk this morning?
No.
Romans 1.
He took the bus.
He was so proud.
It's beautiful. It's a skit.
Verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I think we should.
Is that your favorite?
That's my favorite.
Partial verse.
Partial verse. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but I was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. The whole mystery of this, what the first century evangelist did, bears repeating again. When Christ was crucified, it was the Jubilee year. And that meant that they had jillions of people come back, not necessarily for any spiritual reasons, but because all of their ancestral lands were returned to the families, so that there would be a regeneration, if you will, of the land, and there would all the debts were paid off or declared null and void. All of the prisoners were freed. It was a huge, huge thing that he was crucified on a Jubilee year. And so we had, when you read the book of Acts about the first Pentecost, there were people from every country of the world, it seemed like. And they were all Jews, and they had their little small synagogues or gatherings wherever they were around the world. And so when they went back, they didn't start a church, they just went back to their synagogues. And the whole process, you can imagine, if a handful of people from a synagogue in Rome or in Babylon or Ephesus or Corinth or anywhere had come back and had become believers in Messiah at this time, then, you know, there were 5,000 new believers on Pentecost, I think 5,000 anyway, whatever it was, and they were from all over the world. And so they went back, and you can imagine the discussions that were held, because they were all of the same basic Jewish faith, but now for them Messiah had come and it was finished, and they were in the day of Messiah, or the last day. And they had massive arguments in many places they couldn't justify. They weren't sufficiently skilled in the doctrine or in the description of it or understanding of it to be able to defend the faith. And so they called back to Jerusalem and got Peter or Thomas or any of these guys to come and help them. And so that's and Paul then became very famous in the Jewish sects because he had been the Pharisee of the Pharisees. And then he had this Damascus Road experience, and so he became one who was most desired to come and visit people because he had this huge respect among the Jewish religion. And so they had asked others to come, and others had come to Rome before this, but they kept asking for Paul to come to Rome because they thought it was important that he come and explain this mystery of the Messiah to the church in Rome or to the synagogues in Rome. And so he had wanted to come, but now instead of coming at this point, he's writing him a letter. So do you understand? And when the evangelists went out, they stayed for a long time. They stayed for 2 and 3 years. And their words were tested by their life. So there was no, somebody comes in for a weekend or comes and speaks for a day and then goes on to his next thing. They stayed. That's what an evangelist did. Huh?
It's more like a circus now. They come in.
No, yeah, it's a sideshow. They take the money and run. So anyway, this is what this. How oftentimes he had desired to come to Rome, but circumstances didn't permit him, and now he's saying he's about to come. So does that understand? I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto or prevented, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. So he's saying that, you know, he's got to go wherever he's asked. And there's no ranking of it. He goes where he's asked. When I went to Greece, and, you know, almost by accident, it seems, we followed the journey of Christ, I mean, of Paul in Athens and at Corinth and at Thessaloniki. It was an important trip for me because I could sense what was happening, and it's really we're in far worse shape now than we were than the church was then. I mean, because so he was a debtor to anyone that asked. That's what he's saying here. Is this helping understand this whole process of? They didn't. This wasn't done in a vacuum. What?
Yeah,
Oh, you're gelling. You're gelling again.
I'm gelling. My feet are swelling, but I'm gelling. Ryan said, you know, it's like we're in a bubble here in our community and Lakewood and all that. So to be transported back into time to sense the newness of what he was about, it never happened. And
well, it had happened in those that saw. That's what we have to remember. Remember, Abraham saw his day and was glad. The gospel was Abel saw his day and was glad. I mean, it's never not happened, but now it's happened in a manifestation that was unique.
Study this life.
Yeah.
I'm kind of heartened to think about the idea that there were a lot of people who believed who couldn't argue or defend or explain what it was they believed. Because I find that frequently is the case. I don't know how to, frequently I feel like I don't know how to convince somebody other than to say I know what I'm talking about because I've lived it, I've experienced it, I know what it is. It's kind of heartening to know that I'm not the only one.
Well, most people can't. That's not the purpose. That's why you never worry about what you don't have or what you can't do. You're just faithful to what you have.
I was thinking about that guy who was healed when he said, "All I know is once I was blind and now I see."
There's never any. There's no expectation of you in terms of doing anything other than you're fully able to do. you know, like, there, but we're doing an expose and or investigation of well, I'll say it, Kenneth Copeland. It's going to run next week. But anyway,
it's a secret.
That's not a secret anymore.
Don't tell anybody.
This won't be up until after it. It won't be up until after it runs anyway.
You might put it up today.
He wouldn't dare. He can if he wants to. I don't care if he puts it up. I don't care if he puts it up. Anyway, the point of it is, Pete is going to be the one that is interviewed up until now, except for one time in San Antonio when I didn't feel comfortable with Pete talking to the media, but I do now, and it wasn't any kind of a, it's just what is. I mean, I don't know how to explain that any differently. And so you don't ever worry about what you're not doing or can't do or don't think you're doing right or whatever. You just be faithful to what you, then by nature you will fill up that which is lacking in the body of Christ. You never don't believe anybody when they tell you you should be different or something should be different than it is. That's just a lie. All right. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So as much, and this hate, I hate, because from my, I don't suffer fools very well. And probably the, what? What are you laughing at?
You don't suffer them at all.
See, that makes me feel better too.
What?
Well, what do you call it? When, is it apologetics or when you explain and stuff? You know, my basic tool of apologetics is, so yeah, well, fuck you.
That's apologetics.
That's Harry's book of apologetics.
It's a very short book.
But anyway, so as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. But nothing that isn't in me, he can't do anything extraordinary. He can't, he just got to be him. So as much as is in him. Now remember, the other half of this is what Paul says later in Romans. He said, I am determined, and this is a targum of it, but I am determined to speak of nothing until it has been wrought in me by Christ Jesus. So you don't try to speak of something you don't know or that hasn't been mixed with you. And so, you know, there's nothing worse. And any idiot can tell it when somebody is mouthing stuff that he knows nothing about, and it's just because, well, it's written somewhere, so I'm going to speak it. Well, that doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything to you. So again, don't worry about what you don't have. You speak what you do have. That's all you can do. I was, as John said, I was blind, but now I see. I don't know anything else. I was on the radio last night for an hour with a atheist, skeptic. And he has supposedly the largest skeptic network, radio network. He's on 50 stations. And I had more fun doing that than I've had in a long time.
But he's skeptical of that number.
What?
Who
yeah.
Is it? What's the guy's name?
Rick Wood. Anyway, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, how could that be? What is he talking about? What does it mean to not be ashamed of the gospel? It seems redundant that Paul would say, I will not be ashamed. But what does it mean? Anybody have any? Let's everybody give their opinion on what this scripture means.
Freely are open about the fact this crazy doctrine that says you're dead, and, you know, goes against everything that humans, you know, are trained and brought up to think.
So let me give you an example. That's perfect. That's exactly it. But let's talk about your individual families or your old friends or you know, I've watched. It's people are hesitant to talk about their vanity or the vanity of everything because you're afraid you will, you know. I don't know what you're afraid of. Something. But the question is, are you the same always? Or do you couch your words differently if you're in a different environment? Well, then if you speak differently to different groups about your own life and experience, then you're ashamed of the gospel. If you're ashamed of failure, then you're ashamed of the gospel. If you're ashamed that you're a screw-up, then you're ashamed of the gospel. Does that communicate a little bit?
Ashamed of anything, really.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or to the... He uses, when he says Jew first, then the Greek, he doesn't mean just the Greek nation, it's the pagan world. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm sorry. But I get 18. You can't have the gospel without having the cross. Do you understand that? There can be no gospel without your death. There can be no faith without your death. And so this is in verse 18, chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. How can that be? How can the preaching of the cross be the power of God? And the reason is it's because of his humility. We would think, some of you have been here, that I've got to tell people about all the good stuff that God has done for me. And I don't talk about my death. I'm going to go give my testimony. Oh, isn't that testimony? The testimony of a new believer is so sweet. I heard that so many times when I was a new believer. And it just made me ill. Testimony of a new believer is worthless because he hasn't lived what he's talking about. So he's making up crap. You know, John Bloom talks about he was invited to a church and gave his testimony once, and he said he'll never do it again because people wanted him to come and speak because he was Joe Bob and he was real popular and he was on everything, and then he could sneak it in that he was a believer. Well, that's not integrity, that's deception. Anyway,
I studied on the weekend about testimony and testament. You know that the testament, it means nothing until the testator has died.
There isn't. Well, it's martyr. It's his word.
Yeah, martyr. And so your testimony about your life means nothing because your death is missing.
It's like these little kids that telling everybody what they're going to do. All right. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish or empty the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So we've got preaching, the preaching of the cross, and the gospel. They are never different. You're not preaching the gospel if you're not preaching the cross. And you're not preaching the cross if you're telling somebody how to get something. All right, back to Romans. Everybody understand that? verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, it's interesting that that's a quote from Habakkuk 2:4. If you go to the Habakkuk reading of it, to Paul and to the New Testament writers, the just shall live by faith was the same as what it says in Habakkuk. It says the just shall live by his faith, i.e. it points to another. So the just shall live by the faith of Christ alone. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I may have started out by having faith in, but the just only live by the faith of, by his faith. It has nothing to do with how you feel about something. It has nothing to do with what you think about it, because you're not a debtor to any of that any longer. You're a debtor only to his mystery. So nobody cares how you feel or what your little thoughts are about something. You care more than anything else in the universe, because all the world is wandering after the beast. And you are the beast. Everybody, this is... All right. Now it contrasts this. The just shall live by his faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, you can know everything there is to know about the historicity of Christ, about the all of the subtleties of translation and everything else. It's meaningless. Because all you've done is study words. What?
It just reminds me of the analogy of a researcher, a scientist, who has completely studied everything there is about human biology and sexuality, but has never had sex.
All right. Oh, God. That's a good place to stop. I'm going to save some rollover minutes today.
This is good. We're making good time, actually.
We're moving much faster than we did in Ecclesiastes.
Where did we stop? What verse?
18.
18?
But we didn't study it. We just read it.
When it says faith to faith, is that like... It's not, it's like what's, it's imparted from one person where there's Christ is believing in himself to another person who draws that out, and that other person, is that the idea that this goes along that way, or is it talking about something different?
Remember that. I can't think right now.
Something to cut you to.
Let's talk about that tomorrow. Anybody else?
I'll blog about it.
Blog about it.
I think it shows the completeness of the faith and then
faith. It's not right. It's not faith and then more study and then faith.
Yeah, or a really good argument to faith.
And it's not faith and then more time than faith. It's not faith and then some process and then faith. Huh?
That would be for you. Are we talking about reveal from faith to faith?
Yeah.
It's from mountaintop to mountaintop. It's from the cavalry coming in at the last minute to the next time the cavalry comes in at the last minute. It's from not believing and being scared to death and God coming through to not believing and being scared to death and God coming through.
Or maybe it's from the Jew to the Greek, faith to faith.
No, I think again, it's let me try to explain it real quick. Every one of us have had a moment where there's a break in times, and there's a certainty of a knowledge of a moment, of a seeing. And then that's you're fed in the New Jerusalem. That's where the mystery is. Then you have to go down back into the crap and have it worked out. And so, but having it worked out doesn't add anything to the faith. It's faith is its own dynamic, but it being manifest in you or making mixed with you is faith, and then it's to faith. But that's just what I believe anyway. All right, take a big guy.
Some morning, let's get lunch.